Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I guess I was wrong that the Denver Nuggets might suffer from some, that it might take them a minute to catch up, and, you know, because they had a few days off, and usually when you have a few days off, sometimes it takes a minute. You know, it's your first NBA Finals, takes you a minute to get going, and instead, no, the Denver Nuggets came right out and annihilated the Miami Heat last night in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. 104-93, the score sounds a lot closer than it was. There were points in this game where the Nuggets were up 19 points, and I believe they were up 17 going into halftime. So, I mean, it was a royal ass-kicking by the Denver Nuggets. No shocker there, just because it was shocking that the Miami Heat were able to dominate the Boston Celtics like they did in Game 7 in Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that was really, really surprising, in my opinion, that the Boston Celtics just completely did not show up for Game 7. They did not act like they were ready for Game 7, and the Miami Heat did. But it did not look like the Miami Heat were ready for Game 1 of the NBA Finals last night. They looked like the number 8 seed out in the Eastern Conference, and the Denver Nuggets looked like the number 1 overall seed in the entire NBA, and they just knocked it out the park. Nikola Jokic, what do you think Nikola Jokic did last night? Oh, that's right. He had a triple-double, as he always does. I believe that's his 9th of the playoffs so far this season, which is a record. So he just keeps scoring and getting involved in every single play. He had 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. And then Jamal Murray, his dude, he had a double-double, 26 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. And like I said, the Miami Heat did not show up. Jimmy Butler was pretty much a non-factor all night, and Miami actually set a record last night, a record you don't want to set, for the least free throw attempts and the least amount of free throws made in an NBA Finals game. They only had 2 free throws last night. That's it, 2. So if you're not getting to the line, then you're going to have issues scoring, especially against this Denver Nuggets team. And right now, Denver's up 1-0 on the Miami Heat. As I said in Monday's episode, it didn't matter who the Nuggets were going to play. I was picking them in 6 games. I still have 6 games, just because I do think while the Miami Heat got walloped in Game 1, I think they will step it up at some point in the series and at least make a couple of games pretty decent. But overall, the Denver Nuggets looked solid, even beyond Jokic and Murray. Their bench played great. Their defense was great. And they just played an overall great game, whereas the Miami Heat just did what they do, Jekyll and Hyde, every single game. Game 2 will be Sunday night in Denver. We'll see if Miami shows up for that one. The Denver Nuggets got Game 1 officially an ass-kicking, and they made it seem like they are the team to beat this year. All right, and let's move on to some baseball. Had a few things happen this week. Beginning on Monday, Marcus Stroman of the Chicago Cubs, he threw a one-hit shutout in a 1-0 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. It was his second career shutout, and it was really just an overall solid performance from him and the Chicago Cubs, who just have not had a good season at all. But they got a big win against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are the best team in the league. Then that same day on Monday, Aaron Judge, who just is continuing what he did last year on into this season, he had 2 home runs and then also robbed a home run of Teoscar Hernandez of the Seattle Mariners in a 10-4 Yankees win on Monday. And he just was all around. He was just hitting the ball out of the park. But the home run that he robbed from Teoscar Hernandez was just beautiful. I mean, the guy's 6'7", so he doesn't really have that far to go when he's jumping. But the guy just made the big plays and got a huge win for the Yankees, who are now starting to surge yet again. So we'll see what they're able to do going on through the season. And then on Tuesday, we had some nice pitching performances yet again. Actually, we've had some very solid pitching performances all week. And then so on Tuesday, New York Mets pitcher Kodai Senga, he's been very up and down this season. He is their rookie pitcher, and he's been pretty bad on the road, but at home he's been very solid. And in a 2-0 win over the Philadelphia Phillies at home, he threw 7 innings and only 1 hit as well. So it was also a shutout for him. He continues his reign at home, but he's seeming to get better as the season goes on. So it's going to be interesting to see where the Mets are at with their starting pitching, because now they're getting it going with their starting pitching. They've had their ups and downs. But Senga is not the only New York Mets pitcher I'm talking about in this week's rundown of baseball. But then also on Tuesday, another great pitching performance from Zach Gallen of the Arizona Diamondbacks. The dude is money. I mean, he's been money for the last couple of seasons, but especially in home games. Right now, he's pitching a .66 ERA in all of the home games so far this season. And against the Colorado Rockies in a 5-1 win, he pitched 6 scoreless innings and just had yet another dominating performance. And this guy is just, it's crazy how well the Diamondbacks continue to do, because I did not expect them to be a good team at all. But Zach Gallen has been one of the top pitchers, hands down, this season. Then on Wednesday, Shohei Ohtani did it again. He had 2 home runs against the Chicago White Sox. One went for 425 feet. The other one went for 459 feet. And then Mike Trout was like, yeah, I got a little bit more in myself than you do. And he hit a home run for 461 feet. So these guys are just knocking them out of the park in a 12-5 win over the Chicago White Sox. And then on Thursday, yesterday, Max Scherzer, he's finally stepped it up this season, because he's had a very shaky season. Started off the season kind of slow, then he was injured, and now he's back. And he threw 7 innings last night with 9 strikeouts in a 4-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies, which actually ended up being a sweep for the New York Mets over the Philadelphia Phillies. And Scherzer seemed to be back in form. And as I was saying about the Mets, now they're starting pitching with Senga had a good week. Scherzer looks to be getting back to normal. Then you've got Verlander. I don't know, this New York Mets team might be able to put it together this second half of the season, but so far they've been pretty up and down, but this week they've looked really solid with the starting pitching. All right, and now let's move on to this week's Top 5. Last week when I was on vacation, the little bit of news that went on in the NBA was they had the NBA draft lottery. So who gets the first overall pick this year in the NBA draft? It's going to be the San Antonio Spurs. They will get the first overall pick, and they're more than likely going to be taking a player out of France named Victor Wembanyama. And he's pretty much been the wonder boy for about 2 years now. He's been getting talked about how he's going to be the next guy. He's pretty much hasn't been this much hype really over an up and coming player since pretty much LeBron James. He's getting that type of hype, and he looks pretty good. I mean, it's always difficult to tell what anybody's going to be like. In my opinion, he's kind of similar to Kevin Durant, very skinny. But great scorer. He's got long range. So he's good defensively with blocks and everything. So he's just looks like he's going to be a very solid player. And it looks like the San Antonio Spurs are going to be drafting yet another amazing player, as they have a few times throughout the history of the San Antonio Spurs. But with that being said, today's Top 5 list I decided to do is the Top 5 first overall NBA draft picks. And so basically these are guys who were the first overall pick in the draft. And it's not really about their NBA careers, even though all 5 of them have had amazing NBA careers. But it's mostly going to be about kind of the hype leading up to the draft and then them living up to the hype afterwards as well. So those are kind of the boundaries set on this one. But all five of these guys are all Hall of Famers. They all had spectacular careers, but they were the first overall pick in the NBA draft and were pretty much hyped up along the same lines as Wembanyama has been all season. So let's start it off with number five, and that would be Tim Duncan, who was drafted first overall in 1997 by the San Antonio Spurs. He's primarily played power forward and center throughout his career. He was a five-time NBA champion for the San Antonio Spurs, also a two-time MVP. That's just the little bit of career highlights for him, but he really did had a Hall of Fame NBA career. When you're ranking power forwards, he's probably number one overall. Definitely in the top five, but he, in my opinion, probably would be number one. But he turned around this San Antonio Spurs organization. Yes, they had David Robinson before him, but they really never won anything until they drafted Tim Duncan, and they really haven't been shit since Tim Duncan retired. So definitely Tim Duncan had to make this list just because his NBA career was amazing. But the whole year, actually a couple years leading up to him getting drafted, he was heavily sought after. So he did spend his college years at Wake Forest from 1993 to 1997. He went all 4 years of college. It was kind of his thing. When he was in high school playing basketball, it really wasn't, he didn't have any NBA aspirations. It's just he was heavily sought after during high school, and then so he ended up going to Wake Forest and having a very dominating time at Wake Forest. Overall record at Wake Forest, it was 97-31. He was the all-time rebounding leader in the NCAA at the time of his when he was drafted. He was also the all-time leading shot blocker in the ACC when he was drafted. He started getting NBA attention his sophomore year at Wake Forest. And every year it was like, are you going to declare for the draft? Are you going to declare for the draft? He's like, no, I'm going to go all 4 years of college. Went to all 4 years of college. And by the time he was done with college, he led the ACC in 1996 in scoring, rebounds, field goal percentage, and blocked shots, which was the first ever for that to happen in the ACC. He just was a great defender, and So the San Antonio Spurs would end up drafting him first overall. And like I said, he would go on to have a stellar NBA career. And he pretty much, not only did he live up to the hype, but I think he also excelled the hype as well, because you really can't, you couldn't have asked for one guy to turn around an entire organization who was essentially a laughingstock organization. And they ended up not only winning five championships, but going to six of them while he was there. And he really made them a relevant team. And now the Spurs, most people don't even really think about the Spurs much anymore because they've been that bad. Then at number four on my top five first overall NBA draft picks of all time, Magic Johnson. He was drafted first overall in 1979 by the Los Angeles Lakers. He was primarily a point guard, but he did at points in his career in certain games, most notably an NBA Finals game, his first NBA Finals game as a rookie. He played center. He's played all of the positions on the court. So he's a five-tool player, if you will. He was a five-time champion, a three-time MVP, owns endless records, and just was one of the greatest NBA legends of all time. But he went to Michigan State for college from 1977 to 1979. But he was big when he was 15 years old. He actually had a triple-double in his high school league at 15 years old, and that's when he was dubbed Magic Johnson, just because he looked like magic on the court. And so he was heavily sought after, but he really wanted to stay because he's from Michigan. So he really wanted to stay in Michigan. So his options were mostly between Michigan and Michigan State. He ended up choosing Michigan State. 1 year he was there, they would end up going to, I believe, the Elite Eight, or the Sweet 16, I can't remember, but they went relatively far in the NCAA championship. And then the following year, they would actually go to the national championship and win. And this was when 1979 was really a year that not only would change college basketball, but it would change the trajectory of the NBA forever. And what happened was, of course, Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird. The whole season, that's what it was all about. Those two players, they both ended up in the national championship. It ended up being the most watched national championship game ever of all time at that point. And so then that entire offseason was, who's going to go first overall? Magic Bird, Magic Bird, Magic Bird. And then Magic would get drafted by the Lakers. Larry Bird would get drafted by the Celtics. It would turn out to be one of the most heated rivalries of all time. And that would change the league forever and actually make the sport of basketball and the NBA. It would gain so much popularity, and it pretty much just shot up from there. So you definitely got to thank Magic Johnson for being a part of that, as well as Larry Bird. But it started long before. And so he was a national champion in college, and then he was drafted in the NBA and then completely lived up to all the hype. And, you know, like I said, he was already sought after from high school age. And so being able to live up to the hype from high school to college and then ultimately be one of the greatest players of all time in NBA history, obviously Magic Johnson needed to make this list. Then at number three on my top five first overall NBA draft picks, Shaquille O'Neal, drafted in 1992 by the Orlando Magic. Played center for most of his career. He is a four-time NBA champion with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. He's also a one-time league MVP. He attended college at LSU from 1989 to 1992, but he was also a heavily sought-after high school player. He grew up partly in Germany for a lot of his childhood because he was an army brat, and so his father was stationed over in Germany. But then after Germany, they moved to Texas, and he hit high school, and he was one of the most dominating Texas high school basketball players ever. Still to this day, Shaq owns a lot of Texas high school basketball records. His high school team would go on to have a record of 68-1 at his time playing in Texas. And he had a high school state record, which still stands to this day, of 791 rebounds. So the guy was just crazy in high school, heavily sought after, ended up going to LSU, had an amazing career at LSU, would be an All-American. He was essentially, when he was coming up, before he was drafted in the NBA, this was the hype machine. He was going to change the league, and Shaquille O'Neal did change the league. Arguably one of the greatest centers of all time. He would go on to have a Hall of Fame career, of course. But he was hyped up in high school, hyped up in college, and he would hit the NBA. And even in his rookie year, the Orlando Magic were a laughingstock team, but he and Penny Hardaway turned them into one of the most watchable, exciting teams for those couple of years. Then he would ultimately go on to sign with the Lakers, and he would be one of the most dominating centers in that time period for the Lakers. They would go on and win three championships, and then he would get traded to the Miami Heat, and he and Dwayne Wade would win a championship over there. So he essentially changed three teams. He really changed the league because he was one of the most unguardable players ever this league has had. And Shaq 100% lived up to all of the hype given to him before he hit the league. Then at number two on my top five first overall NBA draft picks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But when he was drafted, he actually went by his birth name, Lou Alcindor. If you don't know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar converted to Muslim. He actually did in UCLA, and he did change his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but he didn't really officially change it until he was drafted into the NBA a couple years after. He was drafted first overall in 1969 by the Milwaukee Bucks. This was actually their first ever pick, or was it their second ever pick? I don't remember, but I know they were very a new team when they were able to draft then Lou Alcindor. He played center. He was a six-time NBA champion, a six-time league MVP. But his college career, he would go to UCLA from 1966 to 1969. He actually won three consecutive championships there. Basically, he owns so many records as a college player and as an NBA player that you can't really, it would be an endless show, basically, if I just started rattling off on all the records that Kareem owns. But the guy was one of the most hyped up players, not only coming out of college, but I mean in high school too. He was well heavily sought after in high school. He would end up choosing UCLA, mostly just because, you know, John Wooden is a legendary coach. He just kind of liked what they had going on there as a team. And like I said, they would go on and win 3 straight championships. He would be an All-American all his years there. I believe he was also a Mr. Basketball, which is a college or a high school award. And Shaq was also Texas Mr. Basketball as well. Going back to Shaq, but Kareem, he was so dominant in college that actually in 1967, they had to create what they referred to as the Lew Alcindor rule, where you weren't allowed to dunk anymore. That rule would actually last until, I believe, 1976, around sometime in the 70s. But that's how dominating he was as a player, is that they were like, dude, we have to create rules because you dominate and kick our ass so much. And guess what? UCLA still kicked their ass. He still was the number overall pick. He would go on and win a championship with the Bucks. Then he would move over to the Los Angeles Lakers, dominate with them. And he just was one of the greatest players. In my opinion, he's the greatest NBA player of all time. But most certainly college basketball player too. I just think Kareem was just born to play basketball. And he was just such a legend at it. That's actually how the hook shot evolved, because of the no dunking rule they created in college basketball. So that's where we got the hook shot, the legendary hook shot that nobody's been able to duplicate still to this day. So Kareem, he was also, when they created this no dunk rule, he would get Sports Illustrated's attention. And like I said, he was just heavily sought after at every level of his career. And he completely 100% not only lived up to the hype, but completely excelled over the hype put on him before he was drafted. And now, number one on my top 5 first overall NBA draft picks. This was the first person I thought of. I knew he was going to be number one. I lived it. I lived through this hype. And there really has not been the hype train coming into the league like there was for LeBron James. He was drafted first overall in the 2003 NBA draft by the Cleveland Cavaliers as a forward. He's also like Magic, where he's played essentially every single position on the court, but he's primarily a forward. He's a 4-time NBA champion and a 4-time MVP. And he didn't even go to college. That's how heavily sought after LeBron James was. We started hearing about LeBron James when he was 16 years old. His high school playing time, he would go undefeated at one point. They would win multiple championships. He got the Sports Illustrated cover his senior year of high school. So that's how hyped up LeBron James was at the time. He went to St. Vincent St. Mary's, where he would be 3-time Ohio Mr. Basketball. He was a 2-time All-American, and he was also 2-time National High School Player of the Year. Like I said, I lived it. We knew who LeBron James was at 16 years old, and they were dubbing him the next Michael Jordan, and this guy has completely lived up to the hype. Not only did he happily take on this role, because the thing about hype trains and what I've never liked about them is what you do is you're placing, when you call somebody the next Michael Jordan, you're placing a lot on that person's back to live up to. And LeBron didn't shy away. He took it right on. And not only did he take it right on, but he was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, a franchise that's been a laughingstock until he was drafted. He made them relevant. Now, in his first tenure there, he did not win them a championship, but he took them to the promised land. And then he would end up going to Miami, winning a couple championships there. Then he would go back to Cleveland, and he would win a championship in Cleveland. And just the fact that he won an NBA Finals in Cleveland, that says a lot about the dude. And then, of course, now he plays for the Lakers, and he's just had a legendary career. He's obviously going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame whenever he retires. But if anybody has lived up to the hype, I feel like nobody had that much hype on them coming into the NBA like LeBron did. I don't even really think this Wembanyama guy has had as much hype as LeBron. He's had a lot of hype. But when LeBron when LeBron was 16, like I said, we were hearing about the dude. We were hearing about him his senior year. And then he was drafted, and he has so far completely lived up to the hype. Now, of course, in my opinion, he's not the next Jordan. He's the LeBron James. I don't like putting those titles on people, but he changed the league. He took over. He's been one of the most dominating players his entire career. And in my opinion, he has to be number one on the list, because I don't think anybody has had that much hype on him like LeBron. I mean, I wasn't alive when Kareem was drafted, but he had played a full college career and he had been hyped up, but he also got the experience by playing with or by being coached by a great coach like John Wooden. And then, of course, you know, Shaq, he had a lot of hype as well, but he also had a long career in college as well. And then Magic Johnson, I feel like had a lot of hype as well. And I feel like on this list, out of all of the guys that had a lot of hype, Johnson probably matched LeBron's. And then Duncan, of course, had a lot of hype as well, but he didn't have that much pressure at all. So in my opinion, LeBron James, definitely the first overall pick that was able to not only live up to the hype, excel over the hype, but he was happy to take it on. And, you know, he's still doing it too. I mean, of course, there's all this speculation on what's going to happen after this season. He could retire. I mean, he's 38 years old, and this season was pretty trying for him. He did have the foot injury, so he's probably going to miss the beginning of next season if he does play. But I wouldn't be surprised if he retired, and if he does retire, whether he retires or not, his legacy's already cemented in the ground, if you will. And so we know what he is, but in my opinion, he's definitely lived up to the hype. And I don't think anybody had as much hype coming into the league like LeBron did. But Victor Wembanyama, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his career. Like I said, he's probably getting drafted by the Spurs. I don't see who else they would take. But let's see if they're able to build around him. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see the next generation of the league, because LeBron is most certainly on his way out. Whether he plays a couple more years or not, he's definitely headed on the way out. And it looks like Wembanyama is heading on in. And looks like we may have yet another successful European player, because, you know, you got Jokic going off in the NBA Finals this year, you know, from Serbia. And then you've got Luka Doncic, another European player who's been taking over the league as well. So all these foreign players, part of the reason why they're so good, and one of the reasons why Wembanyama's been so hyped up, is they in Europe actually get to play at pro-style levels at young ages. And so that's how they learn and seem to have better technical skills than over here in the States. But we'll see what the career of Victor Wembanyama has in store. And like I said, this is probably going to be yet another successful first overall pick for the San Antonio Spurs, because not only did they have Tim Duncan first overall, but they also had the legendary David Robinson first overall. So, that is today's Trop 5 list. So like I said, we've got game 2 of the NBA Finals on Sunday night in Denver. So we'll see where we're at on Monday with that. And enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.